get your Bibles out and get ready. We're going to have Clayton Proctor come and preach the word to us tonight. Are you anxious to hear from God's word tonight, church? Amen. Isn't that great? We're going to have one of our young men come and preach the word. So get your Bibles out and get ready. Clayton, come and preach for us, man.
Thank you. Thank
you. You preach as long as you want to tonight.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Preach as long as you... If you want to preach to midnight, go right ahead. But we're all leaving at 7 to go eat hamburgers and hot dogs, all right?
Awesome. That's it. Yeah, I was telling Jared, I said, we'll get you guys out by 8 tonight just to make sure, you know, the hamburgers are nice and well done for you. So, hey, let's take our... You know what? I'm not going to tell you where to go just yet. I just wanted to thank... you guys for giving me the chance to speak. Actually, my dad asked me, you guys didn't, but you're here, so I guess that's okay with you. So, thank you. That's great to be here. And I just wanted to personally thank all of our veterans for the sacrifice that they've made. Those songs talked about freedom, and you know, we have freedom in Christ. We have freedom from sin, but in order to worship the Lord freely, we could not do that. We couldn't do what we're doing here today if it were not for our veterans. So let's give them one more round of applause. Now, I was really excited when my dad asked me to preach for Memorial Day because I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about something that had to do with freedom. And so I found this particular passage that I thought had to do with freedom, and I started writing the message, and it had nothing to do with freedom. I was like, this totally strayed away from what I intended, but it still is really, spoke to me, and it has a little bit to do with freedom, and also applies well to kind of a military mindset. So I thought it'd be really awesome to talk to you about this today. It's about a story of a guy who you're probably not familiar with. He's not very well known. His name's Daniel. That was a joke. Yeah, Daniel, and this is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Man, good story, right? Grow up, learn about the story. And I know, I can tell you the story. I was taught it from a young, I probably could say it when I was 3. I mean, because it's like brought up with Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, Noah's Ark. Those are like the staples, you know, of childhood. And so, no, but we know how the story goes. Daniel was an upright man, and the king, like Daniel, was like, okay, Daniel, you're going to be my second in command. Well, everybody else is like, I don't want him to be second in command. That's not nice. So then they're like, okay, well, we got to bring Daniel down so that we can have our rightful place under the king. So they try to find something, some way to accuse Daniel. Well, they try, like, there's nothing we can do. Daniel's too perfect. He's too perfect. We can't do anything against him. But then they're like, wait a second. He prays every day. Bingo. So then they come up with this brilliant plan how they're going to trap David. I'm sorry, going back to the other story. How they're going to trap Daniel and cause him to be thrown into the lion's den. And real quick, if you would, turn with me to Daniel 6, and that's where we're going to be today, is Daniel chapter 6. But yeah, so they come up with this plan with which they're going to trap Daniel, and they're going to cause him to be thrown into the lion's den. And so this is where we're going to be today. You know, it's always interesting to me how they go about this. They go to the king, they start, you know, talking to him about the decree to keep people from praying. And I want you to read with me what they say to the king. So when you get there in Daniel 6, we'll be starting in verse 7. So Daniel 6, and then when you get there, join me in verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So I was researching that word petition, and it literally just means like a question or a request. And this blew my mind, okay? They're saying, okay, listen, king, if anybody asks a petition of a god or king, he gets thrown into the den of lions. And I'm like, okay, what do you do if you're a 5-year-old? You come into the morning for breakfast. Mommy, can I have some breakfast? You said a question to the lion's den. That shocked me. Okay, this worded interestingly. Any questions to the lion's den? So, yeah, kind of funny. I thought it was funny. I guess nobody else did. But anyways, so if anybody ever makes a decree where you can't ask questions, you better be watch out when you ask for breakfast in the morning. So, first lesson of the day. But no, but so they say, okay, hey, nobody can make a petition, ask anything, can pray to a god or a man except for to you, O king. The king's like, okay, sounds like a good commandment, and he signs it. And then sure enough, Daniel, you know, as soon as he finds out about the decree, what does he do? He goes and he prays. Boom. First thing he does, he goes and he prays. And of course the men, they take him and they throw him in the lion's den. But he doesn't get made supper. He doesn't get eaten. Why? Because the Lord sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And what happens is pretty amazing. And let's look at it together. Daniel 6, once again. And let's look now at verse 22. Daniel says, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. And then if we skip down into verse 25, King Darius makes a decree. In 26, he says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, in his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. Man, powerful. Because of David's testimony, all of a sudden now God is glorified. God is made known to the nations through Daniel. And so this is a powerful story. But I think because we know it so well, growing up teaching that, we kind of skip over it sometimes. We skim through it. Oh yeah, Daniel wasn't eaten by the lions. Woohoo, this is awesome. And we fail to take notice of some of the amazing things that are found here in this passage. And as I was studying this, it really impacted me, and I hope it has the same impact on you. There's some things we can learn from Daniel, because he obviously had a huge testimony upon the king, even before the lion's den situation. Because earlier on, it says that the king was confident that Daniel would be delivered by his God. Look at verse 16 with me. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The king doesn't say your God might deliver you. It's possible, you know, he might deliver you, Daniel. No. He says, your God, he will deliver you. Now he may a little bit worried because he stays up all night worrying about it. But he did have faith in Daniel's God. Obviously, Daniel had an impact upon him even before this lion's den. And so what was it about Daniel that caused him to have an impact upon people? And why did he stand up the way he did to be thrown into the lion's den? And I found three things about Daniel that I think apply to all of us. Not even just for our Christian lives, and that's what I'm going to mainly be talking about, is how we can live good lives of service to God based on what Daniel did, but also just in our daily lives, maybe at work, at school, in the military, wherever we're at, these principles I think will apply to all of them. And that's just some stuff that we can learn from Daniel. And the first thing is, Daniel was faithful. Daniel was faithful. Look with me at verse 4. Verse 4, the presidents and princes, they're trying to, you know, find out how to get Daniel, and they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Why? For as much as he was faithful. He was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel was a faithful person. He did his job consistently and without fail. Man, if the king gave Daniel something to do, he could count on Daniel to do it. He could get Daniel, hey, take care of this, and he knew Daniel would do it. Daniel was that kind of a person. He was faithful to do his job. You know, a lot of people can be flashy, but not faithful. You can be flashy, but you can't be faithful, because, you know, they're like in baseball, you know, you've got some players who might be able to do some really amazing stuff, like, you know, one time. They'll do like one play every like 10 games. But then you've got these players who just do their job every day, day in and day out. They do their job. And those people are more valuable to the coach. Why? Because the coach can count on them in any situation. No matter what he needs, the coach knows that person, that player, will do his job. Faithful people are important. It's a whole lot better to be faithful than flashy, but faithful people are hard to find. They're hard to find. You know, Daniel was a faithful person, and because of that, he didn't make mistakes. Verse 4, man, they could not find any error or fault in Daniel. It says that, but I don't know what to do. The guy's just, he's good, man. He does his job. You see, when you're faithful and when you do your job day in and day out, you don't make mistakes because you just do it. You just do it. You're faithful. People can count on you. And, you know, if you're not faithful, you tend to let people down. And I was thinking about this, you know. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required in stewards, leaders, spiritual leaders, that they be found faithful. Why? Well, because if they're not faithful, they're going to let people down. You know, it's like, I expect you to be here at this time. Well, if you're not there, well, then you've let somebody down. And leaders have to do what they say they're going to do, or else they're going to let their teammates down, and they're going to let the people they're serving down. And that's why in Christian service, Paul wrote, listen, man, stewards have to be faithful. Spiritual leaders have to be faithful. Consistency is so important. I talked about, you know, Memorial Day. Let's talk about military. If you are in the military and, you know, you've got drills every morning and you just decide that I'm going to just do great on my drills. I'm going to be the best driller. I don't really know anything about military, so I'm just... Drills, that's all I know, all right? Yeah, I'm going to be good at doing drills. And I'm going to do the best one day a week. I'm going to be the best. The other 4 days, I'll just sleep in. Wow, your DI is going to, he's going to be like, this isn't going to work. Right, Pastor Shannon? Yeah, he's talked about some military stuff, and they're not overly, you know, polite in the military. Yeah, no, you're going to do drills every day of the week. Every day you're going to do your drills. Consistency. Or imagine that you're working for your job and you just tell your boss, hey, I am going to be there for you. I'm going to do a great job and I'm going to do it 3 days out of the week. Got you. Your boss is going to be like, there's the door. No, consistency is important. We recognize that, but a lot of times we fail to recognize it when it comes in to Christian service. We're faithful in other areas, but we never let that carry over into our ministry of the Lord. Faithfulness is so important. And I think a lot of times we're not faithful because we don't think we're talented or we don't think we're gifted. Now, I understand, okay, sometimes you really just truly aren't talented. If you're not a people person, don't sign up for First Impressions. Just don't. If you don't like talking to people, First Impressions is not the ministry for you. But there's other places to be that you can be faithful in. A lot of times we let our giftedness or our talentedness keep us from serving, keep us from doing the Lord's work. Daniel was not a talented lion tamer. That was not his spiritual gift, okay? He was not good at keeping lions off of him. That wasn't what he was skilled at. But God used him. God used him because he was faithful. You know, some of us maybe are reluctant to get into something because we just don't want to, I'm scared, I don't know if I can do this. Well, listen, start small. Start small. Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So start small. I know, like, I think it's like 3 years ago, I was at a teen camp, and Brother Wade Rowden taught a message on prayer. And it was really impactful to me and a bunch of the other guys. And I remember in our cabin devotions, we were talking about ways to increase our prayer life and to better it. And Pastor Rob, he said, hey, there's a prayer group that meets every Saturday night at 6:30. Be there. And I was like, okay, that's not too bad. That could be a start. And so right then and there, I committed to being at that prayer group at 6:30 on Saturday nights. And I did. I went there. The first week was a little bit hard because I had jet lag. I don't know what you call camp lag. But I was like, you know, pretty tired from camp because that really tires you out. But I was like, no, I'm going to be at prayer. And for the last 2 or 3 years, I don't know how long it's been exactly, but I have been at that prayer group every Saturday night, except for like vacation and stuff. But make a decision to start small. Maybe you don't want to maybe be the leader of a small group, but you can commit to being at a small group. I will be at my small group every Wednesday night or every Thursday night, Tuesday night, wherever you meet. I will be there. Make a commitment. Be faithful like Daniel was. All right? So first, to be like Daniel, we need to be faithful. But secondly, we need to follow the orders of our commanding officer. Follow the orders of our commanding officer. Daniel, he followed the law of God. In verse 5, the men are trying to find something against him, and they say, well, we're not going to find anything, nothing, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Ha ha, that's true, because Daniel followed the law of God. Daniel had the attitude of, hey, if God has commanded me something to do, I am going to do it. God's giving me something to do, I'm going to do it. In the military, if your superior officer gives you an order and you don't do it, issues. There's going to be problems, okay? There's going to be big time problems. And, you know, we know that we're supposed to follow the instructions of people who are above us, but then why aren't we following God's orders? Because we don't have to look too far for them. They're right here. Bible, that's the book for me. Stand alone on the word of God. Are we really, though? Because if we're standing on the word, that means we're following what's written in this book. And Daniel followed it. He's like, listen, if God's given me a command, then I'm going to do it. Are we following the commandments? You know, a lot of times it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to follow the commandments because following Christ means persecution. Following Christ, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. It wasn't going to be easy. Daniel, he wasn't afraid of dying in order to follow God. You see, there's certain things that we do in church, and this mic's kind of bothering me. I'm sorry. All right, I think I'm good. I'm not as talented with Dad when it comes to mic situations, but anyways, pardon the mic situation. but you know, yeah, there's certain things that we do in church that are kind of like non-negotiable. Like, I'm sorry, I'm using the wrong word. Certain things that we do in church that aren't commanded in God's word. We have lights. Great thing. But like you can go in through the Bible and you're probably not going to find a scripture that says, when thou art in church, thou must have lights. No, I've never found that personally. If you do, let me know. But no, that's not something that's commanded, but we do it because it's easier to read the Bible when there's lights on. It just helps, okay? And we don't bump into each other, which is also a good thing. You know, certain things that we don't have to worry about. We're sitting in nice chairs here, but we used to be sitting in pews until a couple months ago. Listen, if there had been a verse in the Bible that says you must always sit in pews, you'd be sitting in a pew right now. But aren't you thankful that we got a church that stands in the word? And it's like, listen, we're going to find out and make sure every decision we make is based on scripture. And so we looked, okay, there's nothing in the Bible that says we can't sit in pews, so we got in chairs. Which is a great thing because they're comfortable. They really are. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I was about to fall asleep during that Sunday morning message. Yeah. That guy who preaches on Sunday morning, man, he is boring. I mean, Oh, man. He gets to pick on me like every Sunday, so, you know. No, he wouldn't. No, he doesn't do that. No, but, you know, if it's in the scripture, if it's commanded, then we need to do it. As simple as that, you know? Daniel is like, hey, I've been commanded to pray, and so I'm going to pray. But I think a lot of times we don't follow God's commandments because sometimes we just don't know what they are. We're kind of confused, like, what is it that I'm supposed to be following? One of the worst parts in school is when you've got an assignment you're supposed to do, and you kind of zone out for that part of class, and then you go to do your assignment, and you're like, what was I supposed to do? That's happened to me a couple times. That's bad. Or, you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Then you forget something, you leave something out, you just do it wrong. So always listen when you've been giving an assignment. I'm getting off on a ramble. Anyways, but you've got to know what the commandments are, or you're not going to do the job right. And, if we're going to follow God's commandments, we have to know what they are. And so what I did is I researched this while I was preparing for the message, and I came across 6 different passages that tell us as Christians specifically what we are supposed to follow. And I'm not going to go through them all because there's a lot of them, but here's what I would suggest. If you got something to write on, write down these 6 passages, and then there's 7 days in the week. But between now, Monday and Saturday, maybe go through these with your family, with your kids, and okay, what am I supposed to follow as a Christian? These verses will tell you what that is. The first one is Romans 14:19. In that we learn we're supposed to follow after peace and edification. Romans 14:19. The next one, 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Corinthians 14:1. We learn they were supposed to follow after charity. 1 Thessalonians 5:15-22. This one's really mind-blowing. It says we're supposed to follow after that which is good. Whew, man, that's good. But it tells us what is good, so that's also good. So it tells us how we can follow after what's good. 1 Timothy 6:11 is the next one. It says we should follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's 1 Timothy 6:11. Next one, Hebrews 12:14-16. It says we need to follow after peace and holiness. And then finally, the last one, and I say this one for last, and I hope you get a chance to read through these passages and kind of to dig into them a little bit. But the last one is 1 Peter 2:19-25. And it sums it up nicely by saying that we just need to follow after Christ. We need to follow after Christ. It says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Man, the same humility, the same love, the same sacrifice that Christ lived is the same way that we should be living. And if we want to follow what's commanded in his word, there's no better person to imitate than Jesus Christ. Because that's what it means to follow. It means to imitate something. And so we need to copy, imitate what Jesus did. We were watching a video at my house this week. It's a home video. We recorded it. And I was 5 years old. that was a while back, it seems like. But 5 years old, and I would show you the video, but I just gotten out of the shower. And so, enough said, I'm not going to show the video. But in the video, I'm doing something, I'm not sure if you've ever seen, have you ever seen Hee Haw? Has anyone ever seen that? There's some weird thing they do where they start hitting their legs, and I don't know what it's called. Ham bone. Not, okay, ham bone. Man, I'm ready for the cookout now. Ham bone. Well, anyways, I'm doing that on the camera, and I'm, doing it, and then my dad's like, how'd you learn that? And I'm like, I saw you doing it. And so, yeah, if you ever want to see my dad do something amazing, he can do a great ham bone. He's got it. And so, anyways, I imitated my father, and the same way I imitated him, we need to be imitating our Heavenly Father. We need to be imitating Jesus Christ. So being like Daniel means being faithful. It means following after God's word. But then lastly, it means that we are bold. We stand up boldly for Christ. Let's look at verse 10. This is my favorite part of the story. It says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. I love that. I don't know. It's just so cool to me that as soon as he sees, here comes the decree. All right, see you guys. I'm heading to my house so I can pray. You know, he just takes off and then he gets to his house. All right, windows open, shades are not drawn. I'm ready to go. Drops to his knees and he starts praying. Boldness. That's so bold because he's just been told that he's going to get thrown in the lions if he continues to pray. But he's like, no, I'm still praying. And I was thinking, why was he so bold? And I think there's two main reasons. First one was because he had faith. He had faith in God. In verse 23, at the end of verse 23, Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He had faith. He had faith. And so then he was able to be bold and take a stand. But the other reason I think he was bold is because he had a keen awareness that if he was caught praying and sentenced to death by being fed to the lions, it would be a great chance for God's glory and power to be made known. And that kind of was different than the way that I always read the story before, because I'd always been like, okay, so Daniel is bold, he stands up, and then because of that, God was glorified. But then I was rethinking, I'm like, I don't know, it feels like Daniel was almost doing this the whole time with the intention of drawing people to God. Because he knew all along that the king had been impacted by his testimony. We read earlier that the king said, I believe that God can deliver you. God will deliver you. And so I think Daniel all along is like, listen, if God delivers me, this is going to be a chance for him to be made known to the nations. And I'm sure Daniel's also thinking, well, even if he chooses not to deliver me, God's still going to be glorified. Because people are going to see that I have sacrificed my life for him. And so I kind of rethought the way I'd always read this, and I realized that, man, when we're trying to be bold for Christ, it's not about us. Because we can kind of make it that way, but, oh yeah, I'm going to be tough for Jesus. Woo! This is awesome. You know, I'm going to stand up for him. And we kind of get so caught up in I'm going to be tough for Jesus that we forget that it's not about me being tough. It's about me standing up so that he can be glorified. It's not about how tough we are, how bold we are for him so that we can become the spiritual giant. No, it's about we're boldly unashamed of Christ and we're boldly standing up so that he can be made known to the nations. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And you know, Philippians 1, Paul says that very thing. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I was like, I am going to magnify God through my boldness. When I stand up for Christ, it's not about to show how strong, how much of a giant, spiritual giant I am. It's about to show how great God is. And that's what it's about for us. It's about us standing up boldly so that we can show how great and mighty God is. How we live, how we die, determines how Christ is perceived by the world. The question is, will we live in a way that magnifies Christ or not? Do we boldly proclaim him no matter the cost? Three things from Daniel. We need to be faithful. We need to follow God's commandments. We need to be bold. But the last thing I want to share with you, and then we're done, is this, that God always gets the victory. He always gets the victory. And you know, this being Memorial Day, I think it's really fitting that in this passage, Daniel's set free from prison. Because these people who fought for us are fighting for our liberty, our freedom. And Daniel, he is set free from his chains. He's set free from prison. You know, we sang tonight, we are free. Free from sin. We also sung that song, Love Came Down. Ooh, I like that song. I think I knocked my mic off when I was singing that down there. You know, it said in that song that we've been set free from sin. And you know, freedom is a wonderful thing. It really is. And although we can't really experience physical, we can't expect physical deliverance on this earth. We can't expect to be delivered from all the troubles that are on this earth because it's sin cursed. We can, though, be confident that God has delivered us from the power, the penalty, and the punishment of sin, which is a whole lot better than being delivered from the mouths of lions. God always gets the victory. So let's be like Daniel and serve him faithfully by boldly standing up for him and following his commandments.